Today, as you may know, is the feast, if you will, of the birth of Martin Luther King. And I'd like to begin with a quote from him. Faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase. And today we remember Dr. King, who was born this day, January 15th, 1929. He, as you probably know, died April 4th, 1968, when he was assassinated. He lived and he died for civil rights and racial equality in this country. His message was always love and not hatred. And he gave us the mandate and the courage to carry on, to challenge our nation to face prejudice, racism, and injustice. We should not give up. We should have faith to take those steps, even though we can't see the whole staircase. And again, Dr. King said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. And isn't that the truth? Who do we look to in today's gospel? John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ, who are both symbols of love and sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God, says John, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. This gospel fits very nicely after the baptism of Jesus, which was last Sunday. Our Lord stood before John and asked him to baptize him. And John, as you may remember, tried to prevent this. He didn't feel he was worthy to baptize Jesus. But our Lord persisted, saying his baptism was to fulfill all righteousness. But this gospel put the ministry of Jesus and John together and gives some understanding of where John saw himself in relation to Jesus. John came before Jesus as the herald of the Messiah. He calls him and invites others to follow him. Now, some biblical teachers believe that Jesus and John must have been rivals, preachers vying for a larger audience. But this gospel doesn't show that at all. Jesus and John have complementary ministries, not competing ones. They are, after all, cousins, working God's field together. They are servants in God's flock, and Jesus is the Lamb. What does that mean? Perhaps it was considered self-explanatory in the time of Jesus, but it needs to be unpacked a little bit today. The clearest explanation comes from the principal meal of the Jewish people, the Passover. It is a symbol of God's great act of redemption in freeing the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt. It is one of the most important and powerful stories in the Bible, and in particular in the Old Testament, after suffering generations of abuse, Pharaoh agrees to let my people go and release the slaves to their journey toward the promised land. It is the Jewish story of redemption, and the Passover meal is their feast. Now, of course, as we know, Pharaoh was not faithful to his promise, sending his army against God's people after they left Egypt. We know that the Lord interceded and saved the people when he opened the Red Sea so that they may escape slavery in Egypt. It's remembered in the Seder, the feast of the Passover lamb, sacrificed for God's family to feast and remember. At this most sacred meal, God's people retell and recall God's great act of redemption and release. The sacrificial lamb represents the people themselves and God's love and willingness to set them free. As Christians, we remember our own experience in the Last Supper. Jesus takes bread and says, "This is my body." He takes wine and says, "This is my blood." Because his own body and blood become sacrificial offerings for the forgiveness of sins. It may have taken some time for the church to understand the meaning of these words, but like Jesus' baptism, they fulfill all righteousness. This is why we treat the Eucharist with such reverence and significance. It's our reliving with Christ what are called the words of institution that instituted the Last Supper and a feast that is much more than a remembrance, but indeed a making present of the great moments of God's redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. That's why the Eucharist is indeed such a sacred meal. They are the gifts of God for the people of God. And who is the Jesus that John saw? He is the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That is why the Lamb is such an important symbol in our church, often used on the front of the altar or embroidered on our vestments. And each Sunday we say together, "Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." In the Eucharist, we relive the death and resurrection of Jesus as we share his sacred feast. Now, I'm going to turn a little bit in my sermon. I have to admit, and you might know this about me, that I love to look at license plates because they're great sources of sermons. And I have used them many times. And not long ago, I saw, it wasn't on a license plate, but it was on a sign that said, "Living for me." Wait, living for me, just me? I thought, never. Jesus, you know, is a sign that we should live for God's love and for one another. Clearly, we saw this in the preaching of Dr. King as well, and God wants us to be happy in life, find inner peace and joy in what we are doing. It makes sense, in a way, to live for me But I think that's not enough. Perhaps life offers us something more than that, something greater than live for me. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and told his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God." He was pointing to Jesus and beyond himself. Two of John's disciples began to follow Jesus, and he asked them, "What are you looking for?" And this is such an important question as well. We don't know what we are looking for until we have found it. That's what I've often discovered. It's like looking through the tool chest or the junk drawer. You all have junk drawers, right? What are you looking for? Maybe I can help you. I'm not sure, but when I know it, I'll see it. And when I find it, I don't want anything else. This is it. What I'm looking for has always been Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whatever emptiness I have, I know that Jesus can fill it. Whatever path I'm trying to find, I discover it through serving Jesus Christ. Instead of living for me, I want to be living for Christ and live in the justice and love for one another. I will say this, to live for Christ is to live for me. My most fulfilling life is revealed when I am living for Christ and serving others. Dr. King used these words, "Life's most persistent and ardent question is, what are you doing for others?" When I look and examine myself, I ask the same question. What am I doing for others? Am I generous with my time and talent and treasure? I believe that I should be serving to make this life, this world, a better place, filled with love. Again, Dr. King said, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden for me." And isn't that so? Hate and prejudice are too great a burden to bear. Jesus Christ carried the cross and took our burdens on him. And when I'm able to look outside myself and see God in the world and in the people I meet, no matter what their nationality, race, background, I discover that I am called to serve Christ, to serve you and others, friends or strangers. And perhaps that's what attracted the Apostle Andrew to follow Jesus. It's important to note that before he followed Jesus, he first went home and got his brother Simon. And he told him, "We have found the Messiah." And of course, Simon Peter would become not only a disciple, but first among the 12. All because his brother Andrew invited him. And there are countless stories of people who have been brought to Christ through a brother, a friend, or even a stranger. I've had many people who have called me or called me back to Jesus Christ. So I finish by asking, who is your brother or sister, friend or stranger? Who can you share your life of faith with? Can you help point the way to the Lamb of God for someone who is searching for something greater than themselves? This is a challenge for the new year. I mean, we're still pretty early in the new year, so I think I can talk about it. Life for Christ, share your faith with at least one person. And if we shared our faith with one person, that would be a lot in the Episcopal Church. It is a frightening challenge, and we often feel unable or unworthy. But Jesus Christ is worthy. Your friend or even a stranger is worthy. And a life in Christ is worthy and may just answer the question, what are you looking for? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.